So we're going to find out whether Minnesota has negotiated a better deal with their transit operator.
All right.
Can't really get a worse
Minnesota.
One.
We're a five-campus system. Most of our big campus is on the Twin Cities. It's the Twin Cities campus. I moved from Arizona to Minneapolis, and one of the biggest things I noticed is that I moved from a city of Phoenix having 850,000 people. Minneapolis, it's probably the same geographic area, but there's all these municipalities packed into the same geographical area. And so when we say the Twin Cities campus, we're really having a campus that's located in Minneapolis, a campus that's located in another community that's considered to be part of St. Paul. So it's Minneapolis-St. Paul campus. They're about five minutes apart using our transit buses. So we have about $33 million of revenues collected. Parking's a big deal when you move up north. Today, I'm spending $25 a day just to park my car in the airport. And I know not many other places have that kind of expense ratio when it comes to parking, but parking's a big deal in Minnesota, of which about a third of that $33 million relates to our tax-free benefits. Part of the, if I can talk a little bit about how we got to where we ended up, when this law was passed, we had a concentrated effort to get everybody in the room to make sure they understood the dynamics of what was happening, that these expenses could be subject to tax. We did some projections. We said, what happens if we turn off our pre-tax parking? Well, we're going to pay 7.65% in FICA for all those that we turn off. That's on $11 million, that's a pretty big chunk of change. And plus, the employee is going to have to pay income tax on those amounts. We estimate that to be about 15%. So you look at the total amount. We looked at the total amount that could be paid if we turned off our pre-tax parking and compared that to what our liability was estimated to be, and it was going to be less going to the federal government if we did not turn off pre-tax parking and we left it as it is, and then paid the tax and incorporated whatever tax we had would pay into our rates. And so we prepared our institutional decision makers with that information so that they were prepared to go with that model. And then the notice came out, and all of a sudden we're going, wow, we hit the jackpot. Yep. And by the way, the notice is written in such a way, I wish that notice existed when we were under UBI audit, because we had a very similar fact pattern with our sports camps and how we operated and treated residence hall use. And we took the whole residence hall use for across the whole campus and took a percent of that total, and the IRS agent came and said, no, that's not reasonable. You can't take it on the whole campus. You got to identify which facilities your students are located in. Well, that's opposite of what we're ending up with here on the parking. So the parking says you can take total spaces. We got 20,000 spaces on our Twin Cities campus, and we have 312 reserve spots. So the 312, and the rest of, we only have 8,000 of those 20,000 spaces are for employees. The rest, so it's primarily for the general public, and therefore we didn't allocate any expenses to employee use. And by the way, if you're like me, you try to get in your lot someday and find out it's full. You don't have a reserve spot because the public took over your spot, so you had to go find a place in another lot. Those are the kind of facts that we were dealing with in coming up with what our solution was. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem for us is our transit passes in our state, in our municipality. The transit authority requires employers to be collecting the money from their employees, and as a result, they give them a reduced rate. So we're stuck with this paradigm of collecting from our employees and then paying a lump sum check to the transit provider. And that's, I think it is with all of the employees in our area, or all the employers in our area are following that same model. Well, that puts us in a disadvantage. Now, some employers will say, well, we're just going to pay it and give it for free to the employees. They subsidize it in total for their employees. We're not that extravagant, so we collect the full amount from the employees, but nonetheless, it still becomes a taxable benefit. And we're finding that that's the biggest increase in our UBI is from our transit passes, which seems to be contrary to public policy. That just doesn't seem right, that we're going to be penalized for encouraging transit use. But that's basically our situation. We have a beautiful campus, by the way. I could go and talk about our architecture.
But it is nice. I've been there a few times, actually. It's very nice.
And it also means, in fairness to Kelly, we really need to, at least in this room, refer to this as the parking and transportation tax. because if we just refer to it as the parking tax, then Kelly's kind of being left out here, and especially with transit being the majority of your taxable expenses. You know, one thing I noticed as you were describing this, geographic area, it's kind of like a silo where you want it to be as big as possible in most cases, and you want to have as much control over what you're going to call your geographic area so that you can kind of aggregate the expenses you want to aggregate, just as how with the silos, you want your silos to be as large as possible so as to get netting in that case. So speaking of large geographic areas, Kyle, so University of Texas, it's an integral part of the state of Texas, so what do you say, one geographic area?
Yeah, in fact, I have 14 institutions spread amongst the state of Texas, and as far as we're concerned, Texas is one geographic area. In seriousness, I found a notice, and I had shared with Bert early on, where I found one instance where the IRS had used a similar phrase. It was in fact, I apologize, I've been on holiday for a week with my kids, and I can't remember what it was. It was, I think it was in the hospital 109 or the 990 Schedule H or something like that, where they define geographic area, and they defined it quite broadly. So I quickly grabbed that definition and have been using it since.